Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You're listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive, and you're receiving a delayed edition of Religion Means Alive. Dear beloved people, so we are happy to be with you today. We thank you for tuning in, and we are honored by your presence. We are going to play a program.
Peace be
on our noble and honorable listening audience. You're listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. And as always, every Friday, we come to you via the last battle station of Freedom's March. It is my contention here on Religion Means Alive that we have entered the promised land. What we do with the promised land is our business. I believe we're going to be successful. And one of the last battles was Selma, Alabama, and we got voters' rights, and now we have all the rights that any other American citizens have. What we do with that is our business. There's a lot to talk about. We see one of the leading spokespersons for the establishment assigned to the Negro desk having to deny that he's a rat. He says he's a cat, while others argue he's a snake. Well, I don't know whether I have any positions on it, but I know our guest, sir, our host, this is his program every Friday. Now, I speak of none other than Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam, and I'd like to invite our audience to tune in on Tuesday where the candidate for the mayor of the city of Newark will grace these airways. That is Roz Baraka, in my opinion, that probably will be the next mayor of one of the most important cities in the United States of America, Newark, New Jersey. It will be followed on Wednesday by the Reverend Bishop Donnie Hilliard at the Second Baptist Cathedral. He's going to talk about family. We're extending this broadcast. Some of the people in our community, they are like a crazy man talking to themselves. We want to dialogue with the world. We want to start with the world of the African American. I'm going to shut up, sit back, and listen as you should. And if you get on your phone, you should text and tell them that Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam is on the air. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. The next voice you hear will be the voice of Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam, coming to us courtesy of the battlefield of Selma, Alabama.
With Allah's name, we began. The praise and the thanks are for Allah, Almighty God. We thank Him for the gift and blessings of the model human person, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the honorable and noble servant and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what follows of that, of the salute, or that traditional salutation to the last prophet, peace be upon him, the seal of the prophets mentioned in Bible as it is given in Quran. Dear believers, beloved believers, As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you. Brothers and sisters, guests and friends, we praise Allah, the Lord, cherisher, sustainer, the keeper of all the worlds, the Lord of the universe, the master of all creation. We praise Him. We worship him only. And we don't associate any with him in worship. He has no son. Any who come to him according to his word and Al-Qur'an come to him as a servant. He created the jinn and human beings for the express purpose of worshiping him. Again, we greet you in the greeting of peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum. Dear beloved audience, Brother Imam, it's a pleasure to be able to come to this forum which Allah has provided by using you as an instrument. And we ask Allah to bless you, to refine your state, and decline your heart and your being toward excellence. We ask his best and most choicest blessings upon you, you and your family. We ask him to grant you whatever you need in this life, but especially in the hereafter. We love you and your commitment. We see the program is expanding, and we hope that Newark, you have a Barack for president, and we hope that Newark, the town dedicated to Noble Drew Ali, we hope that they have a new mayor with that whole Barack connection in his name. That's our hope, that's our prayer. We would like to speak very, very seriously with you today on the topic of debunking the myth of Ham. Reflection on the life of a blessed Imam. Again, by now you ought to know when I say blessed Imam, I'm referring to the late Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. Our subtopic, Akbar, stole the show in the year of Birmingham. We know that Birmingham occurred in 1963. We know in 63 they talk about the March on Washington, the assassination of President Kennedy, Malcolm Shabazz being censored and reprimanded and suspended by the late Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But everybody overlooked the work of little Akbar Muhammad, the son of the late Elijah Muhammad, in the year 1963. Many have said history rewards all research. And even though I acknowledge I'm a donkey, speaking with a man's voice, we follow a leader who appealed to our intellect, who moved us away from the religious tendency of African American people to be inclined toward allowing the priest class and the crafted priest ones, the ones hooded with insincerity and a lack of faith, excuse me, come to us fishing in the waters of our emotions and our sentiments. We thank Allah that we had an Imam that came to us appealing to the best in us, after our human intellect. So anytime there's a student of our blessed Imam, as I come before you, don't expect me to come with a lot of emotional, non-illogical, irrational fishing baited hook. No, indeed. We come with our best. We come with our intellect. And it is reported by Abu Huraira, reported the prophet said, excuse me, peace be upon him. When God created the intelligence, he told it to stand up, and it did so. Then told it to turn its back, and it did so. Then told it to turn its face, and it did so. Then told it to sit, and it did so. He then said, I have created nothing better or more excellent or finer than you. Talking about Allah, the final one, the Allah, highly glorified is he. Talking about the excellence of the human acro, the excellence of the human intellect. Oh, yes. He did. By you I shall receive. By you I shall give. By you I shall know. And by you I shall reprove. By your reward will be gained. And by opposing you, punishment will be received. Oh, yes. So don't expect for us to come with weak, baby-like expressions. We hear to challenge the world of the intelligentsia. We don't fear them, we fear none but Allah. And we defy them, the secular historians, the worldly sociologists, and the psychologists, to come with their academic jargon and their multi-polysyllable words, to cast or to express their words in serpentine deceit and deception. And we can allow them to cast out serpentine expressions first. And we'll lay back and let them hit us with their best intellectual shot. And then we'll cast our taqwa induced statements, plain and simple, for everybody to see and understand. And what we expect will supersede, override, and overcome all of their sophisticated, deceitful, multisyllable, polysyllable, mass-like, deceptive conversation. Oh, yes. We're not here to show off. We're not here to seek praise. We're here with one mission, and that's to preach the excellence of the life of the Lady Man was the Deen Muhammad, and to show his life in its full dimension. Oh, this talk. Good man was a good man. He brought us to orthodox Islam. Why, you out of your mind? Akbar was speaking orthodox Islam in a more challenging sense before Imam Muhammad came into his mission. Many spoke orthodox Islam. You gonna reduce Imam to such a little small thing? No, the Imam was sent to bring the mission of Muhammad and Quran Kareem in his clarity back to the planet white as snow. And because of that, Allah gifted him to be the greatest explicator, the greatest Quranic analyst, the greatest Quranic interpreter, the greatest Quranic hermeneut, the most potent teacher of this Quran since Prophet Muhammad himself. So don't come with this little brainwashed, reductionist, small, petty talk. We owe it to the man. He brought us to Orthodox Islam. Let's examine that idea. And see, Kennedy withstand objective muster. See, Kennedy, withstand strict and rigid intellectual scrutiny and exacting scrutiny. All these men, big-headed emails running around out here now where the emails brought us to Orthodox Islam, and I'll take it from there. Yeah, brother, but who you going to lead? The book says, can the blind lead the blind? Did we not point the people to the tafsir? I mean, may Allah the Deen Muhammad, we're wasting their time. Allah didn't raise us up to be the mega explicator. He raised us up to be students of the mega explicator, the super explicator. And we run around here like Hermes, stealing his brother Apollo's cattle, trying to instill in his message. Let's give credit what credit is due. And that's enough of that. We're going to be, inshallah, unrelenting. We're going to be determined. We're going to be resolute and put me, ma'am, in the proper picture. We're going to reflect on his life, inshallah. Let us go to the book that the ma'am was blessed to see into, and Allah revealed that no one see it but the pure in heart. And I don't picture myself as an explicator, because you, when you're a student, you can't really say when that line blur between what your teacher brought you and what Allah is blessing you to see. So if we humble, we give the teacher the credit. And we don't try to come with any independent so-called brilliant tafsir of this Quran Kareem, this Quran Mubin. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. This is from Surah Ash-Shura. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We seek refuge in Allah and away from the rejected shaitan, the rejected Satan, the avowed enemy to mankind. With the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. It is for Allah to give judgment in whatever you may differ. The same Allah is my Lord. In Him I put my trust, and to Him I turn. He is the creator of the heavens and earth, who made for you paths from your own kind, and paths also of the cattle from their own kind, as to multiply you. There's nothing like Him in the universe. He heals everything and sees everything. To him belong the keys of the treasures of the heavens and the earth. He gives abundantly to whomever he wills, and sparingly to whomever he wills. He has knowledge of everything. He has appointed for you the way of life which he ordained for Noah, which he, O Muhammad, we have not revealed to you, which we have not already enjoined on Ibrahim and Musa and Isa, stressing, establish this way and be not divided in it. The same thing to which, O Muhammad, are calling to set the believer ill at ease. Allah chooses for himself whomever he wills, and he guides to his way only him who turns to him in penitence. The people became divided only after knowledge had come to them, just because they wanted to wrong one another. Had your Lord not already issued the word to the further punishment to an appointed time, the matter would surely have been settled between them. And the fact is that those who were made to inherit the book after them were involved in a finding doubt concerning it. Surely Allah speaks the truth. Let's go back now to our subtopic. Akbar's debunking the life of Ham, the myth of Ham, reflecting on the life of a blessed Imam. Akbar stole the show in the year of Birmingham. By Akbar, we're referring to Elijah Muhammad's son, the younger brother of Imam Muhammad, Akbar Muhammad. Now, we've heard in terms of contemporary history from Brother Nathaniel Muhammad, and we pray Allah bless him with faith, health, and the best in this life and the best in the hereafter. We hope no harm come to the brother. And we're glad to see that the sons of the late Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the brothers of Imam Waqidin Muhammad, some of them are still with us to bear witness in this life. Yes, there's this idea, and we're talking this year about the year 2014, subhanAllah, Surah 14, the year of Ibrahim. That's the year we're in this year. But we're going back 50 years earlier, inshallah, to 1964. But in order to understand 1964, we have to understand the years immediately preceding it, and what happened the years immediately following it. So let's just take a stroll toward memory lane in terms of history. And not the history that Gina Vesey gives us, not the history that Howard Zinn gives us. Yes, and even my brother, not the history that my good friend Taylor Branch gives us. Not the history that Professor Cornel West gives us. Not the history that Brother Henry Louis Gates gives us. No, indeed, but the history that Allah has brought about and recorded on the internal record in terms of what's really important in the outward manifestation of his divine plan on this earth. When he has decreed kun fayakun to allow slavery to be brought to our people, to allow us to be put in a basket like Moses, to have our sister to follow us up and return us to mama, to make us leaders in Pharaoh's kingdom, to make us argue with each other, to argue and become steep in black solidarity to slave creeps in, to make us flee to the death throes of Farad Muhammad and Mahatma Gandhi, and then to allow Imam Muhammad to feel a burning brand, a fire, some information that no worldly force could bring him. Farad didn't bring it to him. Mahatma Gandhi didn't bring it to him. The lady of Elijah Muhammad didn't bring it to him. Allah brought it to him. And then Imam went here and ascended to the Mount of Revelation. And he came, and it was a day when the first slave settlement was established in 1619 in Jamestown, Virginia. James being English for Jacob. From that point on, Jacob had our mind, but Allah had a plan to bring us from under the steam of James or Jacob and put us in the light of Quran. And he said, at the appropriate time, kum by the kum, being it is. And the Imam came here and he ascended the light that Allah sent to Muhammad on the mountain of life, this blessed Quran, during Laylatul Qadr, the night of power. Oh yes, we're not dealing with a small thing. So let's just go back to 1961, leading up to 64. Key permanent impact event, Imam Muhammad on this 28th birthday, 4 times 7, at the end of 4 7-year cycle, go and study the symbolism of the number 4. 4 times 7 is 28. We got to move on. He was in prison in Sandstone, Minnesota. And in Sandstone, Minnesota, he returned to the black stone of the Kaaba. And he put down that temple established on sand. And he put down the sandstone that Jacob used for a pillar at Bethel that had brainwashed African-American people when it came to religion. The house of God was not at Mecca. The house is in, not at Bethel. The house is in Mecca. And the Imam gave himself completely to the Quran in Sandstone Prison. That's the key event that really was at the base of the early initiatory years of the 60s. Don't tell me about the Freedom Ride alone. I love the Freedom Ride. It was all right that John F. Kennedy was inaugurated in January 61. That's all right. Yes, I understand that all-minute movement, the wonderful all-minute movement was getting ready to kick off. But all those events are spelled in comparison to the Imam resolving himself in Sandstone Prison to teach pure Quran to the world. in everything that happened in history from 1961 to 1975, 2 7-year cycles. 61 from 75 is 14. Do you understand? Everything that happened in that 14-year period was part of a grand design for Allah to bring the Imam on the global stage in February 1975. It was merely events in 1962, the Cuban Missile Crisis, the All-Benin Movement, and many, many other events. But the key event on the cosmic scale was the murder of Ron Stokes in L.A., because that began the process of bringing Malcolm to his destiny in 1963, when there was an open conflict with Elijah Muhammad. But we planned, and Allah planned, Malcolm may have been planning, Elijah may have been planning, but Allah was the best of planners, and there was not enough space in the Nation of Islam for the late Honorable Elijah Muhammad. There was not enough space in the Nation of Islam for the late Malcolm Shabazz once the Honorable Wallace Dean Muhammad came on the scene. So Lord, his plan began to open up the door for the Ummah, the Nation of Islam, to give itself to the leadership of the late Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. Once Ron Stokes was assassinated in 1962, Allah El-Muqaddim began to expedite history, began to speed up history. What you mean, Allah expediting history? Haven't you studied? Haven't you seen? Didn't you see the prophet of Allah, Rasulullah, make history in 23 years that sometimes it takes civilization 3 or 4 centuries to make? In 2 decades plus three 7-year cycles plus two? Allah spared of history. His attribute, the expedite, kicked in for Rasulullah. And they talk about the chaotic 60s and the turbulent 60s. Everything was moving fast because Allah was expediting that thing until he made his major move in February 1975. 1963, the man released from prison. At the same time, the Jewish leader from the people of the book, Abraham Heschel, and Dr. Martin Luther King, the great Christian leader and follower of Esau, peace be upon them both. Not Heschel, not King, but our father Ibrahim in that blessed sign from Allah, Esau, for Jesus. So you had the Imam coming out of prison, going back to Chicago while these two religious leaders had a big conference in Chicago. At the same time, George Wallace was preaching segregation now, segregation forever, in his gubernatorial inaugural address. The archetypal, iconic 1960s image of vicious racism. His actions ended up stimulating the murder of young Birmingham children in September 63 at 16 Street Baptist Church. At the time, he knew better, a vile individual, a despicable individual, moving and operating on the idea that he would never be, in his words, a nigger again. And because of his political ambition, he brought about a lot of death, havoc, and mayhem in Alabama and in America. But Allah sent Imam Muhammad to check that racist mind. He said, Wallace Boo from Georgia, named after King George, to check George Wallace when he told the world that we must remove all images of divine, because he understood that sick races like George Wallace, their psychology was spared by that diabolic and wicked racial imagery. With a blonde hair, blue eye, image of Esau is put on the cross before all the sons and daughters of Adam as the world's savior, the savior of global man. Oh, what a diabolic plot. Oh, what a sinister scheme. But Allah in his wisdom did not arrange affairs. In this year of Birmingham, 1963, the march, Malcolm being suspended, Kennedy being assassinated, he didn't arrange affairs where the imam made a direct challenge. The father, no indeed, he did not do that. He allowed Akbar Muhammad on the national stage. See, history reward all racers to make this challenge, even though it was not Allah's plan to bring Akbar forward as the prime explicator of Quran for us. God says in the verses that I read, he gives abundantly to whomever he wills, and sparingly to whomever he wills. He has knowledge of everything. If Allah wanted to bless Imam Muhammad with abundance with this Quran, it didn't matter whether who went to this Islamic university, who studied in Cairo and Egypt. It doesn't matter how all these Negroes run around here with these degrees and this degree and that degree, with this political position and that political position, that's not worth one iota with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He bestows his grace upon whom he will without measure. But he uses whom he pleases. He guides whom he pleases. So we got to get away from this little perspective these men brought us, Orthodox Islam. Here in 1963 was a blatant open attempt by Akbar Muhammad in Temple No. 7 in New York City. On July 13th, as he came back from Egypt with his wife, Harriet, and he spoke before the believers, and Malcolm hosted him. He made some very blatant and challenging statements to the theology of the Nation of Islam. So if all Allah wanted to do was to challenge Islamic, I mean, the theology of the Nation of Islam and bring us to so-called Islamic orthodoxy, Allah could have done the job. Is that what the little prayer of Allah has? Oh, let's open up our small minds. Bringing up to orthodox Islam. Yeah, brother, he made him. I respect him. He brought us to orthodox Islam. And pride in that is the underlying statement that, yeah, he brought us, but it's up to me to complete our understanding in orthodox Islam. So you got this brother, got the nerd Sherman Jackson out there talking about a third resurrection. Yeah, the Imam was all right with the so-called second resurrection, but I got something better. I'm going to bring you to a third resurrection. You're not bringing me anywhere. You can't bring yourself anywhere. And you got the nerve to imply that Allah has blessed you with greater knowledge and wisdom and understanding to the most informed African-American and African in history. Even more so than Bilal. Yeah, because Bilal was back then. He was not the Bilal of the future. The prophet didn't talk about the lamb then. He said, behold, I hear the lamb in the future, his footsteps. So that must have been a son and daughter of the lamb coming in the future. And when he said, if Allah raised up one with hands, not as the lamb, he didn't say Allah was going to make the lamb succeed me and you follow him. He spoke in terms of the future. And hey, we got a story called Lukman the Wise, and it's a beautiful story. He was a beautiful African, very, very wise man. Allah honored him with a surah in Quran. But Lukman didn't have access to the Quran Kareem. Lukman lived before the Quran was revealed. How did he have more knowledge, wisdom, and understanding than one who was thoroughly conversion with the Quran that came to Rasulullah? Let's use our intellect. We're not babies. I said again, yes, the Imam is the most enlightened African in the history of this planet. If you follow the most enlightened man, Prophet Muhammad, then who can be more enlightened than you before Muhammad or after Muhammad, other than the one who completely is guided to understand what Muhammad brought? That's logic, pure and adulterated. That's rational thinking. So let's move on as we get ready to bring this to a close. Let me read this statement. History rewards all research. Yeah, go get Mr. West. Go get Mr. Gates. Go get all of them. And they'll have to rewrite the history of 1963. Quicker than quick. Now in the law, we're given a certain set of principles. Universal principles. These principles that we have, the universal principles, are contained in Quran. But once we get the principles in the law, we have to know how to apply them to the facts. That's called scientific legal analysis. So we don't just speak in general principles. We try to bring, by the grace of Allah, a culture highly refined, highly critical, highly analytical application of our principles to the fact of whatever historical matter or case we're dealing with. Now I'm going to read this very, very slowly. And we're going to come back next week, inshallah, and deal with the rest, 1964, 1965, 1966, 1967. And we'll bring that thing to a close. But I'm going to read this very, very carefully. Quote, on July 13th, March number 7, through a large banquet to celebrate a formal visit from the youngest son of Elijah Muhammad, Akbar Muhammad, and his wife Harriet. The couple was in the process of returning home after a 2-year stay in Cairo, where the 25-year-old Akbar had been a student of Islamic jurisprudence. Those of us who are misguided may have inferred from that very important reality. We certainly should have respected that. But we may have drawn an illogical conclusion about studying Islamic jurisprudence, so therefore Allah has cast him to lead the nation of Islam upon the death of his father. That's totally illogical. Allah didn't plan for an Egyptian father, some scholar, some teacher in Cairo, to teach us what he wanted to give the people. No, indeed. He wanted to teach that special one, that enlightened one, from his own presence. He wanted to guide him from his own presence. His arrival pleased Malcolm X, referring to the late Malcolm Shabazz. After Wallace, Akbar had come to be accounted first among Malcolm's allies in Muhammad's family, saying that Akbar and Wallace were allegedly good friends of Malcolm. We're not going to get into all that, what have you. We don't have time. The youngest of the messenger's children, he found that his time in the Middle East had accomplished for him what prison had done for Wallace. Now the author is wrong. Yes, his time in the Middle East had inclined him away from the Nation of Islam theology, where he would promote what this world called Orthodox Islam, but he didn't receive in Cairo what Wallace received in prison. Akbar was not a Yusuf Light figure in prison. Imam was a Yusuf Light figure in prison. And in the prison, Allah taught the Imam how to interpret his ayah in Quran. Akbar didn't get that in Egypt. This is how this particular author thinks. I think Man and Marable, the name. Man and Marable. Limited analysis, scope of mind constricted, raised up blind, because he thought he could study the life of Muslims, but he was beyond Semitic. This is the arrogance of some of our African American scholars. Yeah, I can write about Elijah. I can write about Malcolm. I can write about Wallace, etc., etc. But I don't have to submit. I don't have to do what they did. I'm better than that. I'm a professor at Harvard. I'm a professor at Yale. I'm a professor at Princeton. I'm a professor at Columbia. I don't have to submit. I'm better than that. They just good at good shoe. Why they just a good at good shoe? In Quranic language, he just black stinking mud. Harvard made me a fire. Yale made me a fire. Princeton made me a fire. Columbia made me a fire. I'm better than them. Well, go on with your bad self, brother. Go on with your bad self. Basically, completely disabuse him or any belief in his father's peculiar brand of Islam. This is saying that Akbar now, Ben Cairo, he doesn't follow the teachings of Farah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam. Everybody want to act like Wallace, Charles's father was an ungrateful, ingrate, rebel and renegade. But they don't ever mention how Akbar hit America at the age of 25, smoking and challenging. These opponents, if they were fair, they would say that. Some of them probably were at Temple number 7 on this day. But you never hear them breathe a word of it. 2 days after his arrival in New York, the Nation of Islam held another public rally. Drawing a crowd of 4,000, and Akbar was invited to speak. His talk had been advertised as a special report on Africa for the people of Allah. But once on his feet, he called for a comprehensive united front of African Americans. This is the kind of talk that Malcolm was talking in 64 in his speech, The Ballad of the Buddha. They talk about that, but they don't talk about this speech of Akbar Muhammad. We must have unity among Negroes, he told the crowd. It's time for us, called the NAAC, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., SNCC, and the black Muslims to sit down together. We must stop calling Dr. King names, and he must stop talking about us before the enemy. For Akbar, the distinction between black separatism, symbolized by his father, and racial integration was secondary to the need to form coalitions. If such unity could be achieved, leaders of independent African states were ready to help us win freedom. This is Akbar rapping. This is what Malcolm came back saying after he made the Hajj in 64 and spent 6 months of 64 in Africa. We're dealing with the facts of history. Akbar then made an extraordinary comment, sending mamas through the crowd and certainly drawing Malcolm's complete attention. I don't hate any man because of the color of his skin. All these men let white folks in the mess, Chief. This is what the people were saying in 75 when I became a member of this wonderful community. These men let whites in the mess, Chief. Here's his brother Akbar. Twelve years, before the imam came into admission saying, I look at a man's heart, I watch his actions, and I make my conclusion on the basis of what he does rather than how he looks. Listening to the speech, Louis Lomax, African-American journalist who passed now, may God forgive him of his sin, recalled that Malcolm had preached a similar approach several years earlier, but he had continued to denigrate King and other civil rights leaders. Akbar Muhammad's address marked a potential schism. Here was a son of a messenger, the one who had most thoroughly immersed himself in the world of Orthodox Islam. Again, a misrepresentation. Nobody in the Nation of Islam was more familiar with correct al-Islam as a dame by Allah than the lady man was to be Muhammad. But we don't let the author get away with that. Offering a clear refutation of the very foundation of nation's theology. Akbar's position, said Lomax, reflects the Arab involvement with black unity throughout the world. Malcolm X is closer to Elijah Muhammad in terms of just what the American Negro should do than Elijah's own son. And up to this point, Malcolm had nowhere near directly challenged the teachings of the Nation of Islam the way Akbar Muhammad did in his speech. Akbar's emergence meant that the black Muslims would become more Islamic and more political in the days just ahead. That was the most important event in 1963, when Akbar had his emergence, but only temporarily. The permanent emergence, the man who was really praying al-Islam in its highest and most excellent form, Allah had him hidden in the background, orchestrating and engineering events for the real emergence 12 years later in 1965. Barack Obama's speech challenged the Nation of Islam orthodoxy far more directly than Malcolm ever did. Malcolm, too, was well aware that the Nation of Islam phase of Islamization had to be accelerated. Yes, he was aware, but not just because of Akbar's speech, but because Imam Wahdi Muhammad was his mentor, as he said in his own book, Wahdi is my spiritual mentor and Elijah's most advanced spiritual son, not Akbar Muhammad. Nevertheless, Allah used Akbar to get this on the historical record. This coming move, this coming trend, where Wahdi Muhammad, our blessed Imam, would bring us into the world of pure Quranic understanding, which is bigger than the world of Orthodox Islam, because the world of Orthodox Islam has lost understanding of Quran. Oh, yes, they lost it. They kept the knowledge, as the Imam said, hidden from the masses. And while they were so busy trying to hide the knowledge from the masses in the West, they hid it from themselves. That's what Imam Muhammad said. Now they can't find it. It was not meant for them to find it. It was meant for the Nephilim, descendants of the Lamb, the son of Elijah Muhammad. It was his faith. It was his destiny to find the lost property of the believer. And what's the lost property of the believer? Clear light and knowledge and understanding of Quran Mubin. None of these historians deal with this very important occurrence on July 13th in 1933. Based upon the Islamic founding date, the mythological date, July 4th, 1930, some 33 years and 9 days later. 3 times 3 is 9. 4 from 13, July 4, July 13 is 9. Islam is mathematics, and mathematics is Islam. Yes, I spoke with zeal, and I made my case with passion, because I believe what the prophet said The prophet said, enthusiasm is my horse. We must ride this mission to bring Wallace crystal clear before the world and to debunk all this foolishness, these little petty reductionist explanation of his wonderful mission. He came to bring us orthodox Islam. No, indeed. Beloved audience, I cast down the gauntlet. Bring me any student of the late Honorable Elijah Muhammad, any student of the Lady Man Wahdudin Muhammad, any of these brainwashed so-called Negro scholars, and any of these members of the worldwide Islamic ulama, all these shakes and milkshakes, Boochie Boochie and Hoochie Coochie. Let's sit down at a table and come to common terms. I defy you to make a reasonable case. And the prophet said, reason is the root of my faith. To make a reasonable case, contradicting, controverting, and rebutting what I just laid out today in this broadcast. I laid it out beyond a reasonable doubt. No reasonable, intelligent man would argue with what was just presented. Only a biased and prejudiced, narrow-minded individual would attempt to rebut what this doctor spoke today. And it was miraculous because this donkey, by the grace of Allah, spoke with a man's voice, with the shining light of Akal, the most excellent gift from his Lord. You little beloved believers, I got to go. Let us bring this to a close. We'll continue next week. It's more to come, inshallah. So I leave you as I greeted you. We thank Allah for your life and your wonderful commitment. No disrespect intended, but I remember when I was an ignorant donkey standing around on the block grinning like an ass. And I used to advocate all kind of crazy stuff. And now I got a chance to stand up and advocate the life of the master explicator. And you expect me not to speak with fervor, passion, and ride the horse of enthusiasm. Dear beloved Muslim audience, we love you. May Allah bless you. As-salamu alaykum. Any questions, Brother Imam? Any questions? Dear beloved audience, we are waiting on Imam Afrit to return to the mic or someone in the studio. We'll give him a few seconds, and I'm certainly open to questions.
Yes, sir. Yes, Brother Imam and audience, you can dial in at 805-727-7013. Press 1 on your phone if you're on the line. I certainly would like to ask you a question about the Reverend Alfred C. Shopton, who happens to be originally home-based from Alabama, I think his mother's from Dothan, that is.
Dothan, Alabama.
His mother's from Dothan, but
and
I want to ask you, Reverend Alfred C. Shopton has been accused of being a rat. He also has said that he's a cat. So is he a rat? Is he a cat? And one reporter say he's a snake. Or is he an innocent preacher just trying to bring souls to Christ and invite people to continue the work of Dr. Martin Luther King? What say you, the jury, the honorable judge on the Reverend Alfred C. Shopton?
I'm not going to get into all that cat and rat stuff, but I tell you this, it's no way that he can be a sincere preacher of the message of Esau, because Esau said, I came not to destroy it all, but to fulfill it. In the laws of appropriate human sexual behavior, in the Christian and biblical context, it's clearly spelled out in Old and New Testament, and I've heard him on many occasions go against those laws, which Jesus did not come to destroy or advocate. As to the rest of those designations, each thinker must come to their own conclusion. Did you hear me?
Yes, sir, Brother Imam, I certainly did. I heard that. Well, what about the fact that Reverend Shopton is reported to be a confidential informant? Now, in your work as a criminal defense attorney, you and as a prosecutor, you've had occasions to meet confidential informants, perhaps even to examine them, certainly to cross-examine them. Would you say that that is a person that is a confidential informant? Are general those type persons trustworthy to the general public?
Well, now you bring up a factual matter, and I'm not necessarily familiar with that allegation or that factual charge. I heard you refer to something at the beginning of the broadcast. Is this a recent revelation, or is this something that's been out there for a while?
Yeah, brother, it has been out there for about 20 years, but it resurfaced when the website Smoking Gun and the New York Daily newspapers, including the Daily News, had Reverend Shopton as Reverend Rat. I think it was the New York Post called him Reverend Rat. And then Reverend Shopton retorted that he was actually Reverend Cat. There's a report about it that has put out a story that has been saying for years, Newsday has put out stories of Shopton. It's pretty confirmed that he had been an informant for the Federal Bureau of Investigation, known as Confidential Informant Number 7. And I think this was released under Freedom of Information Act. What brought this to the public's attention as an honorable and noble president, Barack Hussein Obama, and the Attorney General of the United States, Eric Holder, have spoken at Reverend Shopton's meeting, the National Action Network. I can't speak factual of the fact that Reverend Shopton's organization, until recent, had very few members, and he doesn't pastor the church, and I didn't think he had the credibility of even Reverend Jesse Lewis Jackson, that is. But I'm now venturing off into opinion. But this is recent. It has made the news stories, and Reverend Shopton has been forced, well, I don't say forced, but it seemed to be found it necessary to answer the charges by saying he is a cat and that he was there to catch the mafia. But the accusation against him by members of the press is that he'd been an informant, and part and parcel of his duties of informant has been to inform on African-American leaders. It also has been said that Reverend Shopton has acted as a disruptor and identifier of emerging African-American leadership. So I don't know whether that story has reached you or not, but it certainly...
You know I don't miss contemporary stories. Brother Imam, I see this brother keep calling me. I have a meeting that I'm supposed to be at with him. Let me answer the call, and inshallah, let us continue this next week, okay?
All right, sir. All right. We thank you for your noble and honorable activities, and we thank our honorable and noble audience. If you all like to continue another 5 minutes, we're going to excuse Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam, and next week We'll have him back on the game to discuss whatever he wishes to discuss.
But
he's saying up himself.
Do my research, and we're going to finish up our discussion.
Thank you, sir.
I like directly to a point when I'm asking a question. No fudging, no ducking and dodging.
Yes, sir. And as one songwriter said, no peeping and hiding. So we want you to be on your A game, as it were, with your knowledge and information of the Reverend Alfred C. Shopton. And we will look forward to seeing you next week. Anybody else would like to make comments? Thank you, brother, ma'am. Anybody else, you can just dial 805-727-7013, and you can actually make comments on whatever it is that you want to make comments on. We have a caller from 973-979. You're on the air. Caller, you're on the air. Oh, well, let's see. Just 1 minute. All right, caller, you're on the air with Religion Means Alive.
Yes, sir. Could you hear me, Brother Imam Alfred?
Yes, sir. I certainly can.
This is Imam Earl Sadiq. How are you, my brother?
I'm well. It's a privilege and an honor beyond words to hear you.
I think the brother, I wanted to know what was his name, where is he located at, and how long has he been in the community, but I guess he's left already, right? Perhaps you can help me with those questions.
Well, let me just identify him. His name is Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam. He is an attorney admitted to practice law in the state of Alabama, Georgia, and New York, and is a former law professor at Syracuse University College of Law. He entered the community in 1976 and just recently finished a tenure as a state legislator in the state of Alabama, the first, perhaps the only African-American Muslim to be in the state legislature. He's currently a prosecutor in Selma, Alabama, and was formerly on the city council in East, representing the district of East Selma, Alabama, and the city council, and ran for mayor of the city of Selma and was the president pro temp of the city council of Selma, Alabama.
Yes.
But to answer your question precisely, he came in the community in about 1975 thereof, when Imam Muhammad took over the leadership. Was elected the leader. Well, took over. And in this community, you don't take over nothing. You take over your life. He was appointed first by the Honorable Muhammad and ratified by the body February 26, 1975, and ratified February 25, 1975, in Chicago by the laborers of the Nation of Islam. Does that answer your question, Brother Imam Earl?
Very good. I want to commend him on the historical comments that he was making. Very insightful and very necessary.
You see, every Friday, that tell your brothers, tell your sisters, tell your cousins, tell everybody that he's on the air, he's bona fide, qualified, and definitely certified to give commentary on the historical facts and to present what I see as they say in the law, a prime facial case for Imam W.D. Muhammad being the second most important leader to ever walk the earth. Does it answer your question?
Yeah, it answered my question. I wanted to ask him, though, but I'll catch him next week, inshallah.
So, Edub will be on, and I expect you to return anxiously. It is awaited and expected for next week for your presence to be known on the air. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, my beloved brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Dear beloved people, if there are any other questions or comments, you can call 805-727-7013. We're going to be on the air for another 2 or 3 minutes to take your questions. I'm not prepared to really address you today, but we do want to have you on, and anybody would like to make any questions or comments. But whatever's on your mind. Going, going, going. Thank you for listening. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You've listened once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive.